Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for staying tuned and being part of our day. It's like a dream come true for me to be part of your day, and I'm sure it's the same way for you. Paul Casey, especially when Paul Casey joins us. Paul is a good friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Paul is not only is he an entrepreneur, he's actually a political consultant. We don't mind those guys too much. He also has his own radio show up in the great state of Washington, in the great city of Seattle, and he's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, is Self-Employment for You. Anyone can start a business, only a few can sustain a business. And folks, those of you who've been listening to the show already this hour know that that's kind of what I've been talking about up to now. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. You know, Paul, I went off on a little tirade earlier in the hour before you got here, and I was talking about some new research, some new information from research that the folks at the Office of Advocacy over at the SBA have conducted. They, you know, when I started doing this show back in 97, they were reporting that small businesses were failing at the rate of 50% in the first 5 years. But recently, the last research that I've seen from them is that, and Chad Moutre, by the way, folks, is the chief economist over there. He's the guy who does this work, and it's good work, too. Paul, he says that 50% of small business owners are now failing in the first 4 years. Now, here's what I compare that to, Paul. I said, if fatalities from car wrecks accelerated by 20% over a 2 or 3 year period, if the incidence of cancer or AIDS or any of those kinds of things accelerated at the rate of 20%, Congress would be all over this, wouldn't they?
I would agree 100%.
But small businesses failed. They hit a culvert at 100 miles an hour, well, not without having their seatbelts buckled, in the first 5 years, at an increased incidence of 20%. And the only people who are complaining about it, who are trying to do anything about it, is you and me, I guess, Paul. I don't know who else.
Yeah, it's amazing, Jim, that it's this type of condition. Because can you imagine if, let's say, it was the other way, you were dropping the failure rate 10% or something a year, what impact that would have on the economy of this country?
Yep.
You know, I mean, tax base, whatever. I think it's an absolute crying shame, nothing short of that, that this neglect continues. And one thing that comes to mind with that, Jim, is that I was thinking about this, as a matter of fact, over the weekend, is that, you know, how many businesses fail on that scale? And really, up till recently, there really has been no real training program for an entrepreneur per se. It's like if you're going to become a doctor, you go to med school, you have college, and all the preparation, 12 years. But becoming an entrepreneur, it's like I got an idea and I'm going to go do this, but there's not that training period. And that's why I think a lot of businesses fail. I thought when I was on hold waiting for our conversation, you were talking about accounting. And that is music to my ears, because I believe I cover that in the book and talk about it all the time. It's that if you're not willing to get an accountant, if you're not willing to do certain things, my conclusion is exactly yours. Do you really want to run a small business?
Right.
If you know, if you won't even do the fundamentals, the foundation.
Why would you put your home, your everything you've ever worked for, why would you take the time, why would you set yourself up for failure if you're not prepared to follow the fundamentals? You know, Paul, I've thought a lot about this, as you can imagine, and I know you have too, and I've decided that I think I know why people start small businesses when they're not prepared. I think the main reason is, probably two or three reasons, but the main reason is they think that since they're consumers, since they know how to be consumers, they know how to buy stuff. Everybody knows how to buy stuff. And when they see people selling them stuff, it doesn't look that hard. It looks pretty easy. I mean, you know, how hard can this be? I buy stuff, people sell me stuff. So why don't I just turn it around where I still sell stuff and people buy from me? It can't be that hard. What do you think, Paul? I think that's one of the reasons why people get lulled into a sense of this being an easy thing to do.
Well, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I had a call last night from somebody who wants to start a restaurant, which strike one. But yeah, it was that attitude of, well, you know, I need $1.8 million. I'm going to go to a bank. And I went, go back and start right from the beginning. It's interesting, Jim. I would agree with you there. But you know something, as you said that, I, you know, had never started my business or been exposed to business when I started it. But I didn't think it would be easy. I maybe had a lot of respect for the beast. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I'm still in business. But I agree with you that I've seen the nonchalant. What I kind of view it as is that, let me start this thing and see if it works.
Yeah.
Go with that attitude.
In the meantime, your whole estate's been put on the line. Stand by, Paul. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Paul Casey is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. 22. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Little Dire Straits for you there. Paul Casey is our guest. He's our friend and a member of our Brain Trust. He's CEO of Casey Communications and the author of Is Self-Employment for You? And the answer, folks, is maybe, maybe not. Right, Paul?
That's correct. In the book, I don't try to talk someone into going into business, and I certainly don't try to talk them going out of business. My goal in that book is when you complete it, you're through, you go, hey, I'm in a position to do this, I have what it takes to do it, or maybe it's not for me, and maybe it's a matter of timing. It may not be for you right now, but it may be in some time in the future, but that's my goal.
One of the things that I think is important for people like you and me, Paul, is to we got to deliver the tough love sometimes.
Yes.
We got to be able to tell people, you know what, this is how it really is, and you know, you need to listen. Someone was asking me for advice once, and it was a friend, and I was giving it to them for free, and they weren't paying attention, Paul. And I said, hey, you need to pay attention. I'm giving you this for free. I'm still making payments on this mistake.
That's true. That's very true. And
you know,
kind of what you said about the accounting analogy, which I thought was great, is that what's going to be more expensive, investing in an accountant or losing a business?
Exactly. But what do you, you know, I just believe that people think it's too easy. And I tell them, you know, and I said this earlier, you don't wake up one morning and say, I think I want to be a brain surgeon today.
Right. I do the same thing with a doctor. I use the same analogy, which is great. We think alike. But exactly. You don't do that. It takes years of training and respect it because it is a really long haul. I mean, I'm living proof you can do it, but there are certain things that I think I did very well instinctively, being conservative maybe in finances and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are mistakes I made along the way, and there's I'd say about 3 mileposts during my whole business where I almost lost it. I mean, mm-hmm. I came very close, and
you really can't be, in my opinion, a really, really good small business owner if you haven't come close to abject failure at least once or twice. What do you think, Paul?
I would agree with that because
I don't wish that on people. I just know that's just the way it works, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a law of averages. You're going to have points. It's like you have ups and downs and things, and I think it's a circle. You just keep coming back sometimes at the beginning. But I would agree. Those incidents, I'm kind of glad I have them under my belt. Of course, it didn't cost me my business, but yes, boy, you get smart very quickly, mm-hmm. and you look at the world a lot differently when you come to those moments, and you get tougher, you get more focused, and so sometimes that you call it tough love or you call it something along the lines that coming close to failure can be a good thing. That's what you learn from.
Don't you believe, I said this earlier in the hour, Paul, I said, of all the fundamentals that we have, the things that have been established, the things we don't have to go back and debate, they've already been established as the things that work. Of all those things, marketing, human resources, technology, if you learn the financial fundamentals first, that will give you more time than anything else to learn the others if you're a little short on those. What do you think?
I would agree with that, that finances is absolute. I always look at it as the foundation of a home. You don't go down and look at it and go, wow, isn't this beautiful? You go and look at the ceilings, the floors, the windows, and so on, the dressing, when in fact the foundation is the most important part of your home, and finances is the foundation.
Yep.
And it's a core competency. You don't have to be a financial genius, but you have to have some core competency. And I'd ask myself, if I'm going into a business, can you balance a checkbook? Do you have money in the bank? Are you good with money, basically? If you can say yes to that, I believe your prospects for success are enormously enhanced.
Well, see, sometimes people, Paul, I think sometimes people think that you and I are saying they have to become accountants. And that's not what we're saying at all, is it?
No, I'm a core competency. You hire a good accountant. That's the key.
But you have to understand the difference between cash and accounting, don't you?
Right, and that's the thing. To ask a question, you have to be in a core competency to be able to conversation with an accountant to know what you want and what they're doing. And that'd be the same thing you talk about marketing. And I think that a lot of businesses fail because they think they understand marketing, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they put an ad in the newspaper and they think that's marketing. You have to have a core competency, I think, in communications, hiring a marketing person maybe, or part-time, full-time. But to have that core competency, you have to be able to engage in a conversation, have some knowledge.
And Paul,
if you don't, take a class.
Another thing that I mentioned earlier was that my most valuable tool of all the things that I work with in my business, on every level, my most valuable tool is the cash flow projection, the electronic spreadsheet that I built myself to tell me where my cash is going to be over the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you use one of those?
Yes, I definitely. I don't know if it's the model you use, but yes, I definitely have.
I just take an Excel spreadsheet and build it off out of my P&L. That's
okay.
All I do. It's basically my profit and loss statement minus the amortization and the depreciation.
Right. I have my accountant send me that once a month, and I go over it and I see where I'm at.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you can spread that out over the next. You don't just check where you are now, folks. A cash flow projection should be spread out into the future, maybe as much as 12 months. We're going to take a quick break. Stand by, Paul, folks. When we come back, I want to ask Paul what he thinks, how much he thinks the industry that you're in plays a role in your relative success or not. 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Paul Casey. His book is called Is Self-Employment for You? And it's available wherever books are sold. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Paul Casey is our guest and our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, fellow talk show host. He has his own program on one or two days now, right, Paul?
Yeah, 2 days a week. Actually, I do it today and tomorrow.
Up in Seattle and the great city of Seattle. The book, Paul, tell us where it's available. Give us your website, too, please.
Website is selfemploymentforyou.net. One word.
Say that again.
Employmentforyou.net.
Not leave the is off of it.
That's
just
correct.
Self-employment for you. But the book has an is in front of it, folks. And you know what the meaning of is.
And by the way, you could do is self-employment for you, too. I've got both.
That works. Okay, good deal. And then they can buy the book there also wherever books are sold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paul, one of the things that I think impedes success in small business is people who have no experience in an industry, and they don't realize how critical it is to have that background. And so they say, you know, I've been working in the restaurant business, and I want to start a manufacturing business or whatever it might be.
Right.
And what should I do? And I say, well, you should go get a job in that industry and learn the industry before you start out starting your own business in that industry. And the typical thing is they make a face. And And they don't want to do that because that takes patience, that takes time, that takes deliberation and discipline. They don't want to do that. The industry is very important to success, isn't it? Knowing the industry.
Yes, that goes back to what I talk about when I hear the myth that follow your passion and the money will follow.
Right.
I mean, follow your passion, maybe. Will the money follow? Not necessarily. I believe, along the lines of what you're talking about, there's two things that will increase your prospects for success. And after all, that's all we're trying to do, Jim. I know that's what you do every day and do it so well. Is all you're trying to do is increase someone's opportunity for success by giving them this advice. And I think if you're going to do that, you have to have a core competency in your industry. Yes, I agree with that. And do something you're good at. If you're an accountant, go start an accounting firm, basically. Don't go over and try to run a restaurant. But so that would be one. And two, fill a niche. I mean, those are the two combinations, something you're good at and have a competency in, and something that's needed, or you can do something better. I think those are the two things that really, again, put you in a higher level of your prospects for success.
Well, that's exactly right. And you talked about, you know, the potential myth of following your passion. Well, actually, see, I don't think it's too much of a myth, Paul, because in my opinion, you can't be passionate about something if you don't know anything about it.
Yeah, that's right. Because if you're good at something, an accountant, you're probably passionate about it too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just not saying like you want to go off and be an artist and sell, write a book. Okay, I'm going to go write a book and make a lot of money. Well, I talked to people because I wrote a book saying to do this. I said, well, if you're going to write a book and try to get wealthy off your book, think again. You know, it's not what it did. It does provide me an opportunity to be able to talk to you and have some credibility, but it's not the thing that's going to, you know, feed the fire, the engine of what I need to do to make money in business.
What is the most important thing that you'd recommend? Someone's listening right now who really, they got this burning desire to have their own business in 2007. What would you say to them? What would you say the first thing to do would be?
Well, I would say really examine your lifestyle, to sit down and look at what you're doing now, and then examine where you want to be at in, let's say, 10 years from now, and what you want to be doing in your spare time, what's really important to you. Write those down. Really think about it, because I would say, again, the closer you can come to matching what type of life you want to live, and then you choose the business that supports that lifestyle. I would sit down and do that, and something maybe emerge that does it. I know I did that, and I spoke to you on break, Jim, that one of my passions was to travel, and I wanted to do it when I was younger. So I chose a business that would travel with me. So we talked about I'm going to be traveling this month, going to places I really enjoy going, but my business is still going to run. So, I mean, that was important to me. When I hit those rough roads that I talked about, I'd say, you know, I really want to be able to do this.
You focused on that goal, didn't you? You said, that's
absolutely.
This is why I'm going through these tough times. This is why I'm struggling. This is why I'm willing to do this rather than go get a job. I want that thing out front.
Yeah, I would sit down, and if you can write four or five good reasons why you want to go into business for yourself, and making money doesn't count, that's going to take care of
itself.
That's
right, that's right.
But if you can do that, and you really have this burning desire, that becomes your preamble. And you look at it during the difficult times, and you're going, this is why I'm doing this. If you can't write that, at least three or four or five good reasons, you're going to struggle, I think.
Right. Hey, Paul, give us the website again, please.
It's selfemploymentforyou.net or selfemploymentforyou.net,
.net, though, right.
That's
correct. You, Paul, for being here. Good job today. Safe travels.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, see you later. Paul Casey, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but not for this hour. I got to go. And remember, this program is for you. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.